This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
What I want to talk about is the Niners are heading into this offseason. What are they going to look like without Debo, without Greenlaw, without Hufanga, without Ward? Ward looks like he's gone. I mean, looks like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
Matt Barrels was, I think he was on the radio today, and he said it looks like Greenlaw and Hufanga are not going to be back, which I pretty much expected. And Debo has requested a trade, which you could call that whatever you want to. I'm sure it was a mutual thing. But the Niners are going to look very different next season. I guess we could start with Debo. Because my thought with this, Brian, was, yeah, it's time for Debo to go. Like, it's time for this marriage to end. And towards the end of last season, Debo was based, I mean, would you call him a glorified kick returner? He only hit over 22 yards once. He really was. He only had over 22 yards once in the last 7 or 8 games. His yards per touch from scrimmage was 8.7, which was the lowest of his career. His yards per carry, 3.2. He was a non-factor in the running game now. And receiving yards per game, 44.7. Those are both also career lows. He looks slower. He looks yes. heavier. He may not really fit into this offense now that it's more of a downfield passing attack. He doesn't fit as well, obviously. It was time for them to move on. Having said that, they got to find somebody to replace him. Because going into next season with Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings is really your only two wide receivers. Because we assume Brandon Ayuk is not going to be himself or ready until halfway through the season. Niners need help there, don't you think?
Yeah, they definitely do. You know, the bummer of it all is they restructured Debo's contract, which makes trading him this offseason hurt a little bit more than it would have had they not restructured him. He's got this roster or option bonus that kicks in on March 22nd. So I would assume that he will likely be moved before then. I don't anticipate them getting very much for him. One scenario I saw was like Debo and a pick swap with the Jaguars, where the 49ers would go from 11 to 5 and the Jaguars would get 11 and Debo. I'm like, that's
why would they do that?
Yeah, I don't anticipate that happening.
Why would the Jaguars do that? I
mean, right, exactly.
Why? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they're going to have to take their medicine on this. If they do trade him pre-6-1, it's a $30 million dead cap hit, which is effectively $15 million off their current cap space, because he already accounts for $15 million against the cap mm-hmm. as it currently stands. I mean, theoretically, they could, if they don't find a trade partner, they could, along with Javon Hargrave, designate him as a post-6-1 cut. Which would save them $5 million on the cap this year, but would cost them $20 million in dead cap in 2026, which would be a little bit a little bit more brutal to take on, especially knowing that they are looking to extend Brock Purdy this offseason. So I do anticipate a trade happening. I do anticipate it happening before March 22nd. And yeah, they're going to need to find another veteran receiver to come in, and likely, you know, another draft pick, at least, to really supplement that receiving core, because we don't know, like you said, we don't know what's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall, you know, showed some flashes. Juwan Jennings looked amazing last year, but, you're definitely going to need to add something there.
Speed.
So it'll be interesting to see where he goes, but I do think that his time here in San Francisco is definitely up. And I was surprised to hear that about the likelihood that Dre Greenlaw won't be back. I don't know what his market is going to be like, you know, coming off the Achilles tear, not really playing very much last season. Looked good in the limited time that he did play, but again, kind of aggravated some injuries. Didn't re-aggravate the Achilles as far as we know. I always thought a one-year kind of prove-it deal back with the 49ers made the most sense for him, but if he has a robust market, then yeah, definitely not something that the 49ers should probably engage in, just because, you know, he is coming off the injury and they've got a lot of holes to fill.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on the defense, but going back to the receiver thing really quick, I've seen a lot of, not rumors that he's going to go there, but just people say it's a good fit for T. Higgins. I cannot see any
Where's that way, money?
Right. How the hell are they going to afford that? I mean, talk about a pipe dream. You're going to pay Ayuk what you're paying him. You're going to re-sign Purdy to what's going to be a big deal. And then you're going to pay Higgins. I would be shocked beyond shocked if they found a way to work that. What I feel is going to happen, Amari Cooper makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. Ton of sense. They were interested in him before this past season in the Ayuk trade anyway. Somebody like Darius Slayton, I feel like that's the kind of guy you're going to get. They do need a vet receiver and they will sign one. Again, I would be shocked beyond shocked if they don't. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be one or more of those types of guys where you get him on a one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal that's really a one-year deal where you have that second-year option. But I feel like it's going to be like more of a Cooper or a Slayton. T. Higgins is just an absolute pipe dream. Not happening. They cannot afford it. There's no way. But they have to get – they cannot go into the season and say, hey, we hope Jacob Cowing is going to take a big step. Just can't do it. You have Pearsall, who looked good towards the end of the year. Jennings had a great season. But those guys, you know, there's not a lot of speed there. They need to get another receiver. They need to get another vet guy who can come in and play big snaps while they're waiting for Ayuk and maybe just to rely on for the whole season. Because when Ayuk comes back, who's to say he's going to be Ayuk again? There's a lot of question marks there.
Yeah. So going on Pro Football Network, a list of free agent wide receivers. Now, granted, this list is 30 deep. I'm not trying to read all of them. But what you're seeing is like T. Higgins, Chris Godwin, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Darius Slayton. Those are the top five. Stephon Diggs is in there. DeAndre Hopkins, Mac Hollins, Elijah Moore, Deontay Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Tutu Atwell, Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick is an intriguing one to me. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily a murderer's row of impressive names, but I would imagine of those 30 names, they bring in at least one of those guys. Again, just to fill out a room that all of a sudden looks thin with the, you know, with Debo moving on and Brandon Ayuk likely not to return until at least midseason, if not. I'm still predicting the last third of the season.
Yeah, you have to go into next season to me not counting on Ayuk at all. Whatever you get from him is a plus. And you know what? I kind of feel, not to veer off the subject, but I almost kind of feel the same way with running back. I think you have to go into next year feel like if we can get 70% of what we feel like Christian McCaffrey can be, like we're thrilled. And you have to bring in another running back there too. Isaac Arendo has a huge history of injuries. He didn't look like more than a change of pace guy to me. They don't really have anybody else signed. I mean, I know Jordan Mason's a restricted free agent, right? You can bring him back, but they need to get another running back too. So they have some, you know, getting into the defense, like I said, but they have some questions on offense too with the skill stuff now.
So, you know, like I said, Pro Football Network, right? They're doing their own rankings, but they're doing it for every position group.
Yeah.
So at running back, you mentioned Jordan Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think Jordan Mason lands on their list of free agent running backs?
Oh God, I didn't even look at the list of running backs. I'll say top 10.
Two.
Okay.
They have him at two behind J.K. Dobbins.
Oh, so it is not a real, who's third? So it's,
Najee Harris.
They have Mason over Harris?
Yeah. He's younger, and Najee Harris has not been good in Pittsburgh.
No, I guess that's true. I guess he's more than me,
right? Yeah, their top five is Dobbins, Mason, Najee Harris, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, and then the top 10.
They got to be looking at age, because Jordan Mason is not as good as those other guys.
Well, it's definitely age. I mean, yeah, it's definitely age, because it's – and then 6 through 10 is Rico Dowdle, Jaylen Warren, Javonte Williams, Kenneth Gainwell, and Kareem Hunt.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's definitely not an impressive list. Elijah Mitchell is 18th on the list. And Patrick Taylor is 24th.
You know what else though, is we're talking about Debo. I saw a lot of kind of good riddance with him, and we said it's time to move on. But for me, as you move on, or guys get older, Debo, Eric Armstead, those guys are not easy to replace. I keep saying the 49ers are the 49ers because they have blue chip dudes everywhere. There's like 12 guys you could say are blue chip-ish or Pro Bowl. They have tons of guys like this. Now you're losing Debo. You've already lost Armstead.
Mm-hmm.
Hufanga was more of a one-year type guy, but still, he's likely going to be gone.
Trey Greenlaw.
Greenlaw is a blue chip dude.
Yeah.
And Charvarius Ward certainly was for his first couple of years. You're losing those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't replace those guys. You just don't replace someone like Eric Armstead, who, regardless of what people want to bring up for stats, go look at what he did in the playoffs. 8 sacks?
Yeah.
You don't replace clutch guys like that in the playoffs. It's very hard to do. That's why I just want to be like, be careful what you wish for. And it is time to move on from Debo. But it doesn't mean you're going to be able to replace him. That could not, I don't mean the Debo we saw in the last half of the season, the Debo that we saw most of his career with the Niners. You're probably getting a step down from that, whoever you bring in. So be careful what you wish for there.
Yeah. And, you know, excuse me. Debo was a tone setter. And I think that's the other thing that doesn't, or I don't want to say it goes unnoticed, but when people talk about Debo, you know, it is more about the downside, the lack of separation, things like that. But, you know, he really was a tone setter. And, you know, I don't know who that guy is on offense anymore outside of George Kittle. And, you know, you used to hear all like the Yak Bros and whatnot. And that's over, right? Like,
oh, yeah,
that is
it's a new era.
That was like a one season thing. There really hasn't been much of that past that, but you know, it is a team in transition. You know, we talked last episode and you convinced me how bad a shape the roster is in. Looking at your 49ers, looking at it through your 49ers colored glasses, I mean, they're still, to be fair, I think the 49ers have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl going into next year with opening odds and things like that. So it's not that the team, that people are out on this team. In fact, people are still in. But there are a lot of moves that need to be made based on who is leaving. And they have to hit on these moves. Cause if not, it's a roster in decline for sure. And losing a player like Debo, losing a player like Greenlaw, I don't want to say losing a player like Hufanga, but you know, Hufanga is going to get a deal somewhere and it's going to
he's a starting caliber safety.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what this team looks like come training camp, later this year, because I think it's going to look quite a bit different than we're used to.